They're tough.
Yeah, Lisa was tough.
They are tough. You ready? All right. At this time, I'd like to call the meeting and city council together. It's a committee meeting, and the discussion will be about Jim Lake's extension roads on this Tuesday, March 3rd, 2015. So. Yes.
Council, at the last meeting we had, which was in September, when I reread the minutes, it basically was clear that council wanted staff to get back with the developer and to try to work out an agreement that we could bring back to you to settle the road issue. There's even some comments made by some of the council members here that they thought there was already an agreement on the table, and that we were waiting for that 1 year period of time before we reexamined the roads. There was no agreement that we could find where council had agreed to that. And so we had been meeting with the developer. I met, I guess, just once, maybe twice, since September, to try to work out what Philip had primarily brought to the table last September, which was, let's go ahead and come up with an insurance plan, be an insurance agent, that would limit the exposure to the city, but also limit the exposure to the developer, since the roads are 7 years old. I've asked Gary to develop a resolution and an agreement which spells that out. And Steve, if you don't mind, you can give that to Mayan right behind you. And so the resolution is basically saying, look at the agreement, and we're agreeing to this. That's the one that's got the staple in it, with the developer. And before we present this to council, I'd like to do this on the 9th. It doesn't have to be on the 9th. But I know my time is limited here, and since I've been working on this, I'd like to get it resolved one way or the other. Either council could accept this, or we continue going the same way we have been, which is the roads stay in the hands of the developer, and eventually they're not going to do anything more with the roads. And so it just becomes, a more difficult situation for everybody. So with this agreement, this would turn the roads over to the city of Aiken. And let's look at the terms and condition. The terms and conditions would be that the city agrees to the dedication of the streets. Well, that's what you do every time that a developer goes out, builds some roads. A year or 2 years later, a deed of dedication comes to the city for water, sewer, storm, and the roads. So in this particular case, we're going to agree to accept the roads if they do the following things that are listed here. A final inspection would be done by the city. We went out there in January. When I say we, it was George Brinton, myself, and Ted Jones. Ted Jones has developed a listing of repairs that need to be completed. So he would go out there again, look at these repairs, list them, give them to the developer. The developer then would have 30 days to go ahead and make those repairs. Once those repairs have been completed, the inspector would go out there again, make sure that they were done properly, and then a deed of dedication would come before the city for acceptance. With that, they would also have a letter of credit or a bond of $100,000. That would be for 2 years. So the exposure then, if there's something that, a calamity, something major happened with the roads, the city would have $100,000 available to them to fix these roads. When I went out there, I think it was the mayor, myself, and Bill Likens. Last fall, we looked at the roads. Bill Likens is an owner of a asphalt company. I think he had been in business for over 40 years. I'd only met Bill a couple times, but he lives out in Woodside. He retired there. And he thought that the roads looked a whole lot better than, I guess, he went out there one time before that. And he's since been out there and said that the roads are still looking good. He's not an engineer, which I guess I hold that in high regards, because he's just a person who has dealt with this all his life and worked with asphalt, and he felt like what had been done with the patches was working. So we feel that once these last set of patches are done, little, if, how hardly anything's going to have to be done from that point forward. But in case a problem happened, the developer would have to get a letter of credit or a bond of $100,000. Well, the bond that he had in 2008 was $108,000. So it's right at approximately what the bond was back in 2008. To limit his exposure, since the roads are 7 years old, if there's any repairs that had to be made that were $10,000 or less, then the city would go ahead and make those repairs. So we'd go out there once or twice a year. Any cracking, any patching that had to be made, just like we do on any other roads, we'd go ahead and make those repairs. And we're expecting there really wouldn't be a whole lot of repairs at that point in time. If the city agrees to this, this agreement that we have before you, then this process would start with the inspection, the repairs, and the 2 year period of time that this agreement would be in place with $100,000. And the roads would become the city's. It does not tell the residents when the road would be resurfaced. I know that some of them feel like it needs to be resurfaced, but I would tell you as a city manager that until you could see that there are few, if any, patching that needs to be done, you don't want to go out there and resurface the road. Because again, you're just resurfacing it and it's going to reflect back up. So you're going to want to wait 2 or 3 years anyways before you even would think about going out there and resurfacing at the very minimum. The patches that are out there right now are smooth and have been done professionally by someone. I'm not too sure who did them.
BK, I think.
BK out of New Wellington does most of the patching in our area. But this agreement would get the roads out of the developer's hands into the city's and limits the exposure that the city would have. The developer has agreed to it, and again, if there's any changes that you would like to have, or if you think this is just not even close to what you're looking at, we don't even have to put it on the agenda. But we're ready to put it on the agenda if council so desires.
I would only add one thing to what you said. And you know, the whole point of this, when we were hearing from so many of the residents, that you know, they pay city taxes, they bought a fine new home in the city, and they had a certain level of expectation of reassurance that the roads would be maintained and so forth, and they don't get that sense of reassurance from the developers. So you know, part of the motivation for this is you know trying to do right by those folks that bought those houses and mm-hmm. and are paying
certainly.
The property taxes to
they
us.
Should.
You know, it's in order to give them that sense of security and that that knowledge that, you know, that the roads are going to be maintained and they're not going to have to you know go through a lawsuit with a developer to try to ever get a pothole patched or something like that.
Do you think, based you're a developer, you know this issue as well as anybody in the room? Do you think this is going to save the city money in the long term, or is it going to cost the city money in the long term?
That is an awfully good
question. I know, but and let me preface it by saying the problem is the water underneath, and I just don't see this as doing anything to that.
The only way to answer that question is if you were to say whether or not, when you say long term, what do you mean if the city were to still accept the roads, but just further down the road or never accepting the roads? And if we're never going to accept the roads, then this certainly costs us more than if we...
Well, our policy in the city is to accept roads that are built to our specifications.
Right.
And that's we've done that routinely, and we've generally not had a problem. These roads, I don't think they've been built to specifications. The agreement that you mentioned, we talked about in a meeting, which was never put in writing, and was understood differently by the developers and by members of the council, was that the city would give Garland and Kisner a checklist of items that needed to be done, and they would do them within the next year, and after that year, the city would accept the roads. Where our policy is, once the developer says the roads are okay, then we wait a year to make sure that they're okay, and then we accept them. My understanding is that's what we've always done.
I don't think that part's right.
Yeah, that's what we've always said.
No, what we said to them, you were right about, but we don't, like when I went to deed my roads, I didn't get council to agree to accept them, and then we waited a year for the roads to be deeded. They're deeded immediately.
When you built the roads to specifications, and the city went out and verified that you built the road to specifications, my understanding was that we waited the year, and then Roger would bring it to council and say the roads have been built. We've waited the year, and we're now ready to accept them.
That part, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
That's right. And we're never going to get there with these roads because they don't go a year without needing patching. Now, it's not the same patch, I'll grant you, but it's different patches. Rick Toole gave us an engineering report that basically said we needed to do some subsurface testing. I'm getting out of my league because I'm not an engineer, and you have to appreciate that. But we are supposed to do some subsurface testing. And everything I've read is the problem is there's too much water down there. Now, I don't know what you do to get rid of the water, if you can get rid of the water. I don't know whether you have to dig down 3 feet, 5 feet, eight feet.
With enough money, you can probably get rid of the water. But I doubt very seriously you're going to see enough money from any source to save a court order.
And that's the problem.
Yeah. And I feel certain you'd never see it from the developer. And so, to me, the motivation here is the residents, the citizens of Jim Lakes who bought these houses in good faith, they're never going to see any version of satisfaction probably from the developer, not to say anything negative about the developer.
No, I understand. I mean, it is what it is, and you're right.
Their finances wouldn't permit it. And in the interest of those folks, the best thing that we can do for them is for us to step in and do this. Now, I know how to pave roads. I don't know how to maintain roads. I know how to get them set up for paving and get them built, but I don't know when they do start coming apart. I don't know much about that. And I had a very contentious set of issues when I paved my roads because I know what's right and what's wrong. But the reality is you can build roads on top of just about any kind of subgrade. There's roads over swamps and there's roads over all sorts of things. So just having water under there by itself isn't the problem. I think, sort of layman's opinion, I think all of this is in that same draw. There's a you can look at the topo and you can see this draw, this essentially watershed going through part of Woodside across Silver Bluff Road's built up, but it would have been going across Silver Bluff Road. It still draws right down between this Jim Lakes extension and my development back to some ponds back in the back there, and I think that's probably been there for hundreds of years, that draw, and there's a lot of silt and sand and the deposits of erosion there. And I think just the basic lay of the land is not great. That's why there have been some failures in Woodside, and that's part of why this has had this trouble. But the patches, the ones that, there's basically two sets. One that was the original sets of patches that were pretty crummy that were done by somebody else, and then the other ones that B&K came in and started doing that have held up a lot better. And I think there's one or two of the B&K ones that are literally marginal around the margins. But the rest of them have held up pretty well because they started doing the deep, what do they call it?
Full depth
patching. And Roger, I know, has already identified to the developers a large area that's all alligatored in front of a house that would need to be patched. I think you can fix these things with patching. It makes it ugly, but I think they can be fixed with patching, but there's no guarantee that they won't wash off the side of the hill, and that's why we needed this. This is the closest thing to a guarantee.
I would agree they could be repaired, but I don't agree that they can be fixed. From everything I have read and been told, I don't know what to say. I think I'm worried about putting the city at more risk by accepting this agreement. Because if we accept these roads, we're going to have to go and do whatever it takes.
Right.
Because these are taxpayers. Whatever it takes to fix the roads.
If we didn't accept the road, and I'm not meaning this argumentatively. This is a thought exercise. If 6 months from now we had not accepted these roads, we still had the same conditions that we have right now, and all of a sudden we had a 100-year storm, and one of these roads washed off the side of the hill, down to that pond in the back, okay? And the developer says, we're bankrupt in that LLC, we're done, we can't afford it, sorry guys, we're out of here. So what? So where would we as a city be at that moment? We've got taxpayers on those roads.
I don't know. I guess is there a way for the developer to legally back out of this by declaring bankruptcy? I guess so. I don't.
That's scary. You've got the conflicting issues. I know Reggie kind of sent us a brief email this morning that said he wasn't in favor of this, but he didn't tell us why. I'm assuming it has to do with repaving the entire roads.
It's building the spec question.
Yeah.
You've got a, I would think the citizens would want you to accept the roads so they have the benefit of the backing of the city to take care of the problem if a problem does arise in the future. And as an enticement to the city, and I do think you have to look at it as an enticement, presently there is no bond on the road. And so all of these repairs that Kisner and Gall have been doing, they've been doing out of their own pocket. Uh-huh. There's no guarantee they can continue to afford to do that in the future, like Phillips mentioned. But to entice the city to go ahead, and this is an oddball situation. I don't think you'll ever see this come up in the future again. But they have offered to give you 2 more years worth of financial guarantee to take care of repairs as they come necessary.
Well, I think there's no way to know if the roads are going to completely fail.
Everything I've read, you guarantee it, put it in the bank.
Well, I mean, they've made it 7 years.
No, they haven't. Not made it 7 years. They haven't. They haven't made it more than been patched and patched and patched.
Yeah.
And the roads that these people are living on are different than the roads that you're living on and you're living on and I'm living on.
My road has patches on it.
Well, patches, but as many as Moultrie? Have you been down there to see it?
My road was repaved by the state not that long ago.
Yeah.
I mean, it didn't take long.
Well, I'm not saying that the roads have to have no patches whatsoever, but
right.
I mean, I don't think these roads have ever met. The key is, have they met our specifications? Do we have engineers that say they've met our specifications? And I get a lot of my data from Reggie because we talk about these things.
And
Reggie is concerned that the specifications were either changed or ignored, and they did at one time require compaction testing, and there's no record that's ever been done. And that would be, even Rick Toole's report recommended the city do some things, and the city didn't do them. I mean, it's laid out.
And I wonder who changed those recommendations early on. Who did that?
I don't think they were changed.
What recommendations?
Yeah, there was something changed.
We had a big meeting out there.
About how we're going to go about this.
And, right by Stewart's house.
Yeah.
And Rick Toole mentioned we needed core samples. The only argument against core samples was it's such a fluid situation that you can take a core sample here and really have a problem area just 2-3 yards away. You know, you'd almost have to do a core sample every so often. But as far as I know, no core samples were taken. And Reggie's heartburn was the same issue that you just brought up. They don't have an engineer record. They don't have anything in black and white. And that could expose the city. And that's one of my concerns about mm-hmm. this. And taking over the roads, telling Kisner and Gall to have like $100,000 letter of credit or whatever on file, I'm not sure alleviates that problem.
Well, I think the question is, if we don't have an answer to, who is really at fault here? Is it Kisner and Gall, because they didn't do it properly? They should have known what to do, and what to
I'm not so sure was. That, and I'm speculating, I'll clearly say that.
Well,
I'm not
I think
so sure that
speculating
it's,
right now.
I'm not so sure that it's Kisner and Gall at fault as much as it may be the city. I mean, it's our job to make sure that the roads are built to specifications. One of the ways we solved a lot of that was to develop the engineer of record, but this was before the engineer
right.
of record
right.
That these roads were built. And
yeah, but the requirements were still there
yeah.
before that. So whether
we
call them engineer of record or Mickey Mouse, it doesn't make any difference.
But that engineer
city,
does solve.
That does, yeah, but that doesn't apply to these roads, yeah. But, well, didn't we have a requirement for core testing or compaction testing?
Not a core drill, but you do have There was some inspections that were done. I mean, we found the records, but all we could find is minimal records. I found about 4 or 5
things from CSRA testing, saying that the roads were okay, the base. But, I mean, again, as somebody said, you could test here, and if the problem's right over here, the fact of the matter is, no matter if we had a full testing or minimal testing, parts of the roads have failed. I mean, we know that. This is not a perfect solution. This is a what I see as a very difficult situation that the neighborhood, the residents out there are in that they would like someone to take full responsibility so that they know in the future that the roads are going to be taken care of. What this does, it gives us the bond or letter of credit of $100,000 that if something does happen in the future, we have someone to take care of it. As Philip said, if the whole thing washed out, which is not, but if something catastrophically happened in the next year or 2 years, at least we'd have some of this dealt with.
Yeah, but this just passes it to the city. I mean, that's the concern. You know, if we're going to pass this to the city, then the city's going to have to fix it. And we may not get away with just doing what has been done the past 7 years of, oh, this needs a patch. And this, the residents out there have really not received what they expected to receive when they purchased houses in the city of Aiken. I mean, it's...
What is the alternative, I guess, is my question. Because I've been wrestling this for 6 to 8 months, trying to come up with a solution.
The alternative is to not accept the roads, do nothing.
Do nothing.
And so we're going to end up in this conversation somewhere down the road anyway. We can't go back in time and produce the records. But, so we can do nothing. What we've done is we keep kicking it down the road, doing nothing every year. And at some point, and, you know, the developers have said, at some point they're stopping.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's do this.
They could go to court, and who knows what would happen in court.
Let's do this then, just so we all know exactly what we're doing. Let's get a cost estimate of how much it's going to take for us to fix that road. I don't mean playing games with it as we've been doing for 7 years, but fix it. Dig down as far as we need to resolve the water. I don't even know if that can be done. Because I think if council votes on taking these roads, we need to recognize that we're committing the city to potentially $1 million.
That's not the way we fix roads anywhere in Aiken. I mean, we've got sort of, I don't know that they're written, but we've got sort of a citywide set of standards and practices in terms of how we fix potholes and alligatoring and all that. And, I wouldn't give them some better deal than the rest of the city gets.
No, but they deserve a road that meets our specifications. Would you agree?
Well, you can't say that it doesn't.
Well, about 70% of this road is still...
You can build a road to perfect specifications and it'll still... One of the reasons that it's in the bad shape...
If that's the case here, then I don't have a problem.
Is that not true? You can build a road where all the tests pass and the road still will deteriorate. And a lot of that has to do with the quality of the asphalt that was put down. And I could get into a long story about the asphalt in my subdivision that I had made them pull up because it was poor quality, I lost my train of thought. I'm sorry. Leslie's blowing me away. You blew me away.
I lost my train of thought.
What we're talking about, Leslie, is this resolution and agreement. And,
this asphalt business. Now, who's responsible for making sure that the asphalt is of the proper quality? That's the contractor, right?
Well, the contractor and then the developer. In my case, I don't know if this anecdote helps, but I'll share it with you. I had actually the same asphalt company paved mine. The site contractor who is part of the problem here is because the site contractor would normally have the results of all these tests and all that. He's bankrupt, out of business. Actually, there's a warrant for his arrest, and he's vanished. But he did my subdivision and theirs, okay, because they were being done about the same time. He also, those guys subcontract out the actual asphalt work. Now, I paved mine before they paved theirs. Had a lot to do with weather and me just being ready sooner. But when my asphalt went down, it was either went down too cold or the mix wasn't good or something else. But it was terrible. It was atrocious. I could literally... take my hands and dig them into the asphalt, slide my arm under the asphalt, and pull up a box, pizza-sized box of asphalt from my roads. I took Ted Jones, I took Larry Morris out there, and I said, I'm not paying my guys for these roads. This asphalt's terrible. And they're talking about suing me all this. I said, I want the city to turn them down. I said, you walk around, see what you got to see. I want you to decline these roads. And Ted says, I don't have to walk around anywhere. I can tell you've got, what was his word? It was a four-letter word, so I won't repeat it. But some really bad roads here, and we won't accept these roads. Then I took an asphalt sample, and we sent it to a lab in Florida. I think it was Jacksonville, which was a nationally recognized lab for this stuff. They checked the asphalt to aggregate content and said it was no good. Okay. So I got into a year-long legal battle with the contractor that put the asphalt down because I wouldn't pay for it, but he had done the work, but it was crummy work. I ended up winning, and he came back and built up his asphalt. But the point is, I used a gravel subgrade. Mine was same guys did the work, but I used a gravel base. But if I'd left that asphalt there, it would have come apart. It was coming apart within days of being laid. I mean, at the intersections where you have overlaps, you could kick it with your shoe, and it would start to what we call unravel. It would start to come apart. So you can have perfectly good subgrade and perfectly good prep, and if the asphalt's bad, and I don't know if it was bad in this case because I didn't go over there. I had no reason to ever go look at their asphalt till I started thinking about being on city council. But you can have bad asphalt, and the very same contractor that put mine down did theirs. And in his defense, he actually was near death when he had some sort of tooth infection that nearly killed him. And so he was out of commission, and his crew came and did it. But that's not a very good excuse.
The asphalt is not bad. The asphalt is fine.
Has it been tested?
There were some cores taken. But again, after 7 years, the majority of the asphalt that was put down 7 years ago is still there. And the asphalt's fine. It's the sub-base or the base that's causing the problem. If the asphalt was bad, the whole road, every part of it would be coming apart.
That's true.
It's not the asphalt.
So if it's the sub-base, Roger, then we're going to end up fixing the sub-base if we accept these roads.
If the sub-base continues is failing, again, after 7 years, I would certainly, and again, I'm making an assumption here, that if it's failed, we would have seen it by now in 7 years.
We have.
I know, and they patched it, and those patches are holding up.
The patching is the top. I mean, you're the engineer. I'm not the engineer, but I'm under the impression that underneath, I don't know how far down, 2, 4, 5 feet, there's water.
That's the purpose of testing, which we really didn't do.
No, and we haven't done the testing.
That's the purpose.
I mean, I just think if we're going to accept the roads, I just want us to be all on the same page and say we're accepting a commitment to spend up to $1 million or $2 million to fix these roads, because that's what the citizens who have been paying taxes on those roads expect and deserve. So I'm not against accepting the roads, but let's all be on the same page. It's going to cost us, I don't even know how much. I'd like to know how much before we consider
it.
It
may cost us nothing, or it may cost us a lot of money.
Oh, no. Come on, Roger. It's going to have to cost us something.
Well, you're assuming that the road's going to continue to deteriorate.
Yes.
Okay. I don't think
the majority of the road has been there for 7 years, and it hasn't fallen apart.
Speaking of costing, how do you explain this deductible? Can we bundle patches so we make it above 10 so we take it out of the letter of credit?
That only lasts till 100,000.
Well, yeah.
No, there's a definition of an event in there.
Yeah, there's an arbitration scheme to make sure that the estimate is correct, and so forth. So as I read.
I don't remember what
it says.
And
I don't mean scheme in a negative sense. I mean, there is a process, an arbitration process. Well, that's turned out to be a bad word when you say scheme anymore.
They use that a lot in the UK. They use that a lot in the UK.
Yeah, we're scheming.
They use the word scheme, and we're uncomfortable with it, but it's fine with them. My apprehensions comes from the patching in the road, and I know that I've heard it over and over from the citizens that they're not happy with the patches. They want their road to look like one layer of concrete.
So
if you can help me be comfortable with my decision by giving me a price of what it would take for one overlay of that road so they could have an even road without patches. And the second item would be what would it cost if we had to dig everything up?
We've got that
and start over again.
We've got that from Rick Tool. But one,
I don't know that that's a, is that a good number? Let me just put it that way.
What is that number? I don't
know. It was he gave us three scenarios, remember? And the third one was complete dig up, putting in of drains, redo the subgrade, the base, and the paving, and it was over $1 million. It was like $1,050,000 or something like that.
That's about what we estimated it would cost, but then we didn't know that was.
Yeah, I don't.
That's in that's in that report from him. That was the estimate number three, which he didn't recommend, but he said that would actually be the most reliable solution, worst case, and most reliable fix. If asphalt goes up and down with the price of fuel right now, you probably could repave, overlay that entire thing for under $100,000. I mean,
it's dropped that much. It's that low.
That's well, their original paving was less than $100,000. It got up probably over that, but it's back down. But the other thing is your overlay is a thinner.
It's
layer.
A 1-inch overlay instead of an inch and a half.
Yeah,
that you put down.
I'd be much more comfortable if we had Mr. Decker in the room with us, so he could, because he has studied this far more than I think anybody that I know of, and if he were here and being able to explain. Where he's coming from.
I think we can discuss the bare minimum in terms of getting that one overlay to make it an even road, or the worst case. And I think I'm normally an optimist, but I just think that we're going to have to dig that road up and see what the problem is. Those leaks will continue to exist.
I tend to agree with Roger that. That while there's still some cracks that have not been rectified, some patches areas that have not been rectified, the majority of the road is holding up, and so to do a million, it is.
I disagree.
How long we've been looking at that road?
Yeah.
Well, the length of time we've been looking at it has nothing to do with the quality of it.
There are some
areas that have zero cracks. Yeah. You can go 75 feet with zero cracks, then you go 20 feet, there's nothing but cracks. A lot of the road is okay. Now I'm not, despite maybe where it seems that I'm advocating one side or the other, I'm not really trying to. I'm just trying to play devil's advocate to a degree. But the roads have not had a catastrophic failure; they've had a cosmetic failure. We've got, they've done a lot of the work as far as patching those problems. And I'll tell you, a good bit of the trouble came from the fact that when they sold those lots, they sold them to these track builders who came in with heavy equipment and dug out and leveled those lots. And so they're bringing heavy equipment with extremely high frequency because those guys build so fast. They've got dump trucks, they've got track hose, they've got those big earth-moving pans and bulldozers and everything else. And that did as much as to damage those roads as anything. And that happens all the time. Now, most of that, I think virtually all the lots are built on now, so most of that is gone.
Another big patch right where they're building three new homes.
Right.
And that's, I'm sure, is from overloaded vehicles.
Yeah.
Now, why do we not see overloaded vehicle damage elsewhere in the city?
That's what I was...
Because you don't usually see that extensive grading on a lot after it's been... Most developers, and Gall and Kisner plan to do this too, most developers will get everything graded when they develop the property because they're going to build on it themselves. And so the one house that Gall and Kisner built, you'll see it sitting up on a little bit of a hill. You go up a driveway on a little hill. When Faircloth and the others came in, Eddie Faircloth fancies himself an earth mover and a Tonka man. He loves to work his big equipment. And he came in and he just came in, cut out everything out. Rob Braithwaite complains to this day about how he's got a sheer drop right on the outside of his fence in his backyard because Faircloth took it down 20 feet below the grade where it was before. So you don't normally see that kind of earth movement after roads have been paved. Normally that's all graded and everything gets set up. The lots are set up, the road's set up, and the paving's done, and so you don't see that heavy equipment. You'll see to delivery trucks, cement trucks, brick trucks, things like that for building houses, but you don't see that kind of tracked heavy equipment on those roads that much. Now, that's not, I mean, there is subgrade issues like Roger said, but you take maybe a mediocre subgrade and you start putting that kind of stress on it, and it's going to do what it's done. I mean, I don't disagree with anything you said, except for I'm not ready to say I'm going to spend $1 million+ on going ahead and digging it. I think there's a lot of room between that and digging the whole thing up.
We're saying this because of the meetings we've had with the residents there, the expectations that they have.
Yeah. Reasonable expectations, I think.
Right. And there were also complaints about some saying that they are having the water seepage in their driveway. Not that we control their driveway.
No.
And
I need to talk to
they're scrapping. Right.
Well, I it would be nice if Decker were here to be able to present his side again. It's almost like the bike lanes. You have more meetings than you really need.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not comfortable, honestly, being able to defend what I'm saying, that the roads aren't built properly. I'm just going by what I've read and listened to over the years, and no specifications. And if we're going to accept these roads, I think we are accepting the obligation to fix the roads.
We would be.
And whatever that costs.
But my point is, you don't jump immediately to Rick Tool's third.
But we've tried patching for 7 years.
But the patches that have been done, there are two sets. One was done by our first contractor, it was crummy. The ones that have been done by B&K are holding up.
Yeah, but those have only been, within the past year?
No. Those have been for
two,
like
3 years old.
About three years, some of them. And those have been helped. Now, there's an aesthetic problem, but do we guarantee everybody an aesthetically beautiful road? You know,
The aesthetic issue gets to be a little bit controversial, but when the homeowner comes in and says, listen, how can you expect me to sell my house when somebody drives down the street and looks at this road?
I went and did a check on that, by the way, because I've heard Mr. Decker tell me that. I don't know how many times about how it's hurt their values. I ran a list of every house that's sold on Huron and Moultrie since 2008. Every house that sold on those two roads in these new sections has sold it above the market average between sales list price and sales price, and with the exception of the model homes, which there were four, they've sold at well below the market average for days on market. Many of them sold above their asking price, So the question of whether the roads affects the property values, I mean, you can sit there and argue it all day long, but if you want to start turning and looking at if you want to start turning and looking at, you know, some way to really quantitatively analyze that, you look at what's been on the market and what it's sold for, and those things have sold faster and for more money.
I hear what you're saying, and I guess it's emblematic of this issue. It's the opposite of what some of the people have come in and told us. Now, are they coming in and making up things?
Theirs is anecdotal. Mine's fact on the sales.
Okay. Well, I don't know what to say. Again, okay. I'd be happier to see Decker and Reggie in the room talking about it. Those are the two people that have done most of the analysis on these issues.
In the very beginning, I was dead set. You remember you, me, and Reggie talking about it after a Republican Club meeting or something like that in front of Newbury Hall years ago, saying, you know, we shouldn't take these roads, don't want these roads. But here we are this many years later, and you know, the roads are sufficing. Granted, they're not pretty, but they're
okay. Dick, I think what some of the folks, and I'm just, for the record here, I'm not saying just Mr. Decker, but some of the folks out there would say, look, it's going to keep failing. You ought to just take it up now and make it good, and let's get on with it. We've heard some of them talk already.
Yes, not just Decker, you're right.
And I don't think they, but on the other hand, I agree with what Roger and Philip have said. Some of those patches that have been recently patched, well, I mean over the last year even, are still holding. Now, how are they going to hold another half year or a year? But I don't think it's most of the, you know, it's been said that most of the roads are patch roads. but I don't think that's true either. I don't think they have the most patches, you know, 50%, 60%, 70% of the patches in their road. They're here and there.
Well, there are a lot of them.
There are a lot of them, yeah. But it's not the whole, it's not both roads.
Yes, you're
right. Some people like to say, well, gee, the whole,
it's certain
road.
Areas.
It's not.
That you'll see some areas that will have patches on top of patches. There are certain sections of those roads that are heavily patched and others that are, other parts of those same roads are okay. I mean, I've looked at roads all over Aiken now because of that, and we've got very severe cracking on most roads. I mean, I went down Whiskey Road, driving down the road, looking at cracks, probably nearly hit somebody, but you know, they're as cracked as they can be, and some of the cracks, you could drop a quarter through.
There's a difference here.
Yeah, I know. I'll agree that we've got cracked roads. Right. I mean, you go down the bypass just before you get to the light at Silver Bluff, and it's a mess, and it's going to stay a mess.
Well, if what we're saying, from where I sit, if what we're saying is an agreement to accept these roads is an agreement to spend over $1 million to fix them, then I'm not going to agree to accept the roads.
Well, that's the way I read it at this point, and I'd love to be dissuaded.
Okay, so we've talked about a lot of things here. What I'm hearing is what we have before us today is probably not going to be acceptable. And so in the limited time that I still have left with Aiken, is there anything that I could do to try to come up with something that is acceptable?
I don't know. I'd like to see Reggie.
In reading the court, well, again.
I mean, I'd like to see Reggie in the room, and I'd like to see some of the Jim Lakes people in the room, because I think those are the.
And I'm not going to speak for Reggie or Rich Decker, but they feel the roads are not up to specifications, will never be up to specifications, and that we have to replace them. I mean, given that, it's probably not going to happen by the city. It's probably not going to happen by the developer. What alternatives do we have?
That's what I'm saying.
You know, I mean, if there's something that I could do, and again, I'm looking that I'm only going to be here maybe 6 weeks more, and this is the best that I could come up with the developers. And even this was hard to come up with the developers. And
listen,
so if this is not acceptable, then... You know, we may have to look at a legal solution.
I was just going to say, isn't there a legal issue where you can't have a developer-maintained road in the city? Is that?
I think they've said that themselves.
Well, the developer actually probably, if they do it like everybody else does, the developer has the right to go ahead and deed it to the homeowners.
I mean, it could be a private road, just like Woodside
on their backs.
Kelmia Landing.
But they hadn't done that.
Yeah.
Well, their issue,
Roger,
though, is...
What did Hounds Lake do with their? I know it was forever and ever before Mr. Penland finally agreed to
They finally were deeded to the city in 1999, or 26 years after they were built.
Yeah.
The city still went out there and patched it and maintained it and did the water lines. Now, Stratford Hall was another interesting situation where after 10 years, they still weren't deeded to the city and the developer had passed away. And finally, we had a difficult time. The homeowner association probably just said, would you take it? And we semi-legally did it.
They were fairly crappy roads too, as I recall.
Yeah. But again, this is my personal belief that the developer is not going to continue to keep maintaining these roads longer.
They've said they won't, but...
What are they going to do?
Just walk away.
Yeah,
just walk away.
It's an LLC.
I mean,
just dissolve the LLC.
The only way to, I mean, they don't have to dissolve the LLC, just quit writing checks. And the only way you could force them to write checks prior to dissolving it would be court.
Well, and all that's going to do is force the residents to sue somebody, probably the developer and the city.
Or
just the city.
Now, if you would like to go ahead and have testing to see if there's subsurface water, we could do that.
But this is about the third time we said we were going to do it.
Right.
Now the letter that I saw from the former city manager was, developer, we feel this is the solution. We expect you to go ahead and do the subsurface testing, which was going to be over $20,000.
And if you don't, we will, and we'll bill you.
Right.
We never did. That's why we didn't bill them.
Now, if you want, we could certainly do that.
You know, it may be up to us to do that and pay that bill, just to find out.
Well, I would agree with that, Mayor, because that would tell us for sure what we're going to have to do to get those roads to meet our city specifications. Then you know.
And we'd also show the folks that live out there that we really want to help and we really want this done right, but we need to find out where the water is. And if it,
I mean, I think we know the answer to that, but
and where is it coming from?
Well, there's no doubt that I've been out there half a dozen different times, and there's one area along the curve that has water. And the interesting thing is the pavement is perfect in that area, but there's been so much water running down that curb line that there's algae in the curb, and there's water coming up alongside the curb, but the road is in fine shape. It's never been patched. The asphalt looks perfect. So there's no doubt there's water right below the surface in certain areas, but not all areas.
And that's what they've contended, Roger. They brought us out during the summer, showed us where that water is seeping based on the cement, the curbing of their homes, and then the asphalt itself. And it's very clear. You can see where the cracks are appearing.
Well, in this area, there's no crack.
Well,
there's nothing wrong with the pavement for 100 feet or more.
Yeah, I wish we had done those soil borings or core samples, too, back when Richard had sent that letter. But happens
it's not
if
too late.
I know, but it's what happens if we get if we do that? I mean, and I would be in favor of doing it now, but what happens if we do that and we come back and we find out that it's the worst-case scenario, that it's just mud, nothing but sludge under there. Mud, water, and everything else.
You're the developer. Tell us. I don't know. What
would the developer
would do
was sit there and patch the roads
forever.
For infinity.
Yeah. But now what would really need to be done if that was the case, if it was the worst case? I mean, we'd have to dig down.
It depends on what you find. Again, you could put French drains in there.
Yeah.
So you get below the water line, the water. So, again, a French drain is just digging a trench about a foot and a half wide, you go down whatever distance is necessary. It again depends where the water level is at.
Will it tell you how far down the water is?
When you do the core, you find out where the water level. And so if it's down 3 feet, you go down 3.5 feet, you put in a 6-inch drain, so that black plastic
drain tile.
And you normally go ahead and put a filter cloth around it, and then you put stone so the water goes in the stone, and it goes into that pipe, and then gets discharged. In my former life, that's all I did was work on roads. That's where all my research was done at the university. It's now done just about routinely along every interstate to go ahead and capture that water with this type of a system.
It works. I mean,
it works great. But I mean, your soil borings will at least tell you what you're up against. And I think right now it's what I'm hearing. Is it's like a fighter going into a fight with one hand tied behind your back. You might be talking $1 million, you may be talking almost nothing, but you don't know.
And that's what we've been trying to get to. We're trying to get to a known point.
But I don't think we're going to know.
Until you do some soil borings, you'll never know
like
exactly.
You said, if we bore at 5 different places and it all comes back okay, that doesn't mean that other places aren't okay. That's
but
the problem.
You're probably not going to bore at the very top of the hill.
Well, again, there's some places where there's no problem.
Right.
Obviously, you don't bore there.
Right.
You bore in places that are having a problem.
I agree with the boring.
Isn't there some kind of radar that can tell you where the water is?
It uses sound waves.
It's a sonic. It's not perfect. It's not going to be conclusive. You really need to do soil borings. And if council wants to do that, we can go out there and hire someone. And I could bring that to you on the 9th and say, based on discussion, we believe that we need to do some soil borings, and we're going to go ahead and do it.
Can you look at that document that Richard prepared regarding the developer doing that, or either that or the tool report? It was one of the reports that I thought tasked the developer to do the soil testings, and there was a caveat there that if the developer did not do the bore testings, that the city would do them and bill the developer.
That was a letter that Richard wrote, the two-page letter.
So
they
do have a copy of that.
So we send them a letter. What are they?
They've already got the letter.
I mean the bill, so to speak. I mean, what are they going to do?
They're not going to pay it.
Well, they're probably not going to pay it.
And so, but then what do we do?
Well, at least we then again, Mayor, if we're going to accept the roads, I just want us all to know the impact of accepting the roads.
I'm with you.
I know you are. No, we're on the same page.
Well, I'll tell you this. If we do this, take the roads, dig them up, replace them, and under the auspices of that they didn't meet specs, we need to go find about $20 million because we're going to have to do it for all of Woodside and all these other places.
And that's what I've been told that this is going to lead to.
This is the precursor.
Right.
Yeah, this is the camel's nose under the tent.
Well,
and so, I mean, I'm not sure you ought to go spending that money to redo this road. I mean, there's some developer responsibility here. Mm-hmm. I know everybody likes to, it's easy to pick on the city and the government, but there's some developer responsibility here as well. And, you know, I think in a court of law, a court would ferret that out.
They're still his roads, or the developer's roads. Right.
Yeah, my understanding is that some of the roads at Woodside
we don't own those roads.
Have not been turned over to the POA. They still belong to Steele, Rick Steele. Mm-hmm. Reggie Street, I think. The developer still has responsibility for that road.
Well, it's the same as the developer still has responsibility for these roads.
And the other piece that they're saying is that based on, is the road caving, because they were saying that they thought the road was caving.
Which one? Jim Lakes?
Yes.
No, it's not caving.
I don't know that they're caving.
The concern is water keeps coming up near the patches and things will start sinking.
And the whole thing with a full depth patch, understand a typical patch you're going down 2 or 3 inches. So you're just kind of capping the area. A full depth patch is going down probably about a foot. So you're going down in the ground and there's so much asphalt there that even though there's water underneath it, it can't push back up.
And you got to remember
the way a pothole works is, think about a sponge. If you had a sponge there and a tire goes over it, it squirts water out. Mm-hmm. And that's what you're forcing when the subbase is very wet and you only got an inch and a half of asphalt. You're pushing up and that causes your cracking because the water from underneath is pushing up on the asphalt. When you have a full depth patch, it's pushing down, but it's so far down the water can't get up anywhere on the asphalt.
And the other thing to remember is, if you go a foot with this patch, you know, normally your base and your asphalt is
6 inches of stone, inch and a half of asphalt.
Yeah, it's less than a foot. And so, you know, that full depth patch is actually going down deeper than what all the base and everything.
And that was one of the alternatives that Rick Toole had in his report.
Yeah.
One of the things.
I think that was the first one.
One of them.
I think that was the first one.
It was the least expensive. Right.
Do we need to get him involved or someone else involved to... He's had a lot of experience.
Well, he's given us his report. We probably ought to get copies of his report again. I probably have received them, but I don't know where.
You're just going to spend more money.
Right.
He's already given his recommendation.
His recommendation
is to do soil boring.
His recommendation.
So he could go ahead and do further testing on it.
Yeah.
And he doesn't do soil borings. You'd have to hire a firm to do soil borings,
like CSRA or something.
I think that's what we ought to do. If we go with this, we're going to have more problems, a lot more problems, because they're going to come back and they're going to say the same things they've always been saying. They said, "You're not fixing the roads."
But how are you anticipating that the soil borings would change this proposed agreement?
Well, you'd know where the water is, and maybe you could figure out where it's coming from. Now, Roger, does that make sense?
If you knew that there was water and was fairly near the surface,
you could quantify the fix.
Yeah. I mean, the patches that when you and I went out there, Mayor, with Bill Likens, again, this is the guy who's got all this experience in asphalt, the patches that were done a year to 2 to 3 years ago were primarily holding up. There's some new areas that had developed, and there are some patches that didn't quite go far enough out that had a little minor cracking. But like when Ted and I went out there in January, he had not been out there for a year and a half, and his list went from a page and a half down to a half a page. So there's less of it. Is there going to be more in the future? Yeah, I would say there's going to be more patching out there. The question that we don't know is how much patching is going to be done. As far as overlaying the road, I wouldn't overlay the road, Leslie, I had mentioned before you came in here. I'd wait at least 2, 3, 4 years to make sure that all the patching that you had to do was taken care of before you go out there with that skim coat. But
Is there going to be more patching? Number one, the roads are 7 years old, and so that in itself is going to cause the road to deteriorate faster. But I'm not going to sit here today that all the distress on that road has already occurred. It probably has not already occurred.
And I got one quick question. What about if you get this resurfacing, basically repainting like your driveway? Is there such a thing
to
make the road look more uniform for them? Would that be a solution?
It would make it look more uniform. Typically, the reason you put this surface coat on there, or they call it a skim coat, because it's just a very thin layer, is when you patch, it's hard to get that patch to be smooth. And they use a skeed, as they call it, that goes out in front of the asphalt machine that levels your machine so that it's not going up and down as it's traveling. So what you try to do is you're trying to level out the road with this skim coat. So putting down a seal coat does not level the road at all,
right,
between patches. It and makes it look uniform, but that's all it does. Yeah, it adds no
it's
strength.
Like putting paint. If you put a patch on the wall, there's a hole in the wall and you patch the sheetrock and you didn't get it all sanded and worked out right, and you just painted over it, you'd always see, there'd be paint, the color would match, but you'd still see that there was a patch there. It's the same sort of thing.
Again, the whole purpose of this was, and again, Rich Decker could have been here and Reggie could have been in here, and they could add a whole lot more, but it either you're satisfied with this and you're not, and obviously you're not, and that's fine. I was just, before I left, I wanted to try to move this thing forward.
But what is one of the key points here? The residents feel that we have tied, we being city council, have tied ourselves to what is happening to their roads, because the implication has been we gave approval of the inspection of the roads. And no one, the last I heard, there's no documentation saying that we had approved that those roads were.
Well, and the fact of the matter is, in 2008, Ted Jones sent a memo to the planning department saying, I've wrecked with the roads, remove the bond on this road. So that's the planning department holds on to the bond until the engineering department says, stop holding on the bond because we've looked at it and the roads look good. So we are implicated in the fact that our engineering department looked at it and gave approval to remove the bond.
Right.
So we are part
tied
of,
to this.
Part of the problem.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, even the bigger issue, which you can help us immeasurably before you leave, is to look at the big picture of our building of roads within the city of Aiken. Implication being, this is just a piece of the problem at Gem Lakes. We have the problem at Woodside. I don't know where else we have the problem. Do you know other places that we're having road problems with? I don't
Reggie
know.
Reggie knows. He says there's like 40-something
miles. We need to look. Are our specifications, as they're written, are they adequate to get the quality of roads that we want when they're built? Now, I don't know how many new roads we're going to be building in the near future. I think we're probably pretty well.
There's going to be more room.
Yeah.
Well, there was a question about the locality right next to your office. What was that called?
Because the cottages across the street from my office.
Yeah.
Right. That road's never been accepted, and the reason I heard is because
the developers did.
There's been no testing that's been done, and therefore we don't know if they meet specification or not.
But I thought we accepted those.
No.
Developers did.
No, we didn't.
Okay. I thought George had.
And it's eventually, when the road starts crumbling in 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, the city's going to have to go out there. And
I mean, the road's over 10 years old.
As long as the city, and I think every city in South Carolina does, but as long as the city allows a sand clay base for roads, this problem will show up every once in a while. I mean, sand clay base is going to have
all the roads in Tom's Lake are all sand clay base, and they've held up.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, it's not going to be every sand clay works a good percentage of
did
the time,
do,
but there's always going to be.
Did you do core testing for your roads?
No,
you did.
No, I just did a aggregate base, stone, crush and run, and stone.
But I mean, you didn't do any testing.
I did a compaction test.
Yeah, compaction test.
Compaction, yeah.
Okay. But my understanding is that's not required now for new roads. Is that, am I correct?
No. The engineer record is supposed to go out there and make sure that the testing's done on the roads.
Is that written down any place in one of our planning?
I mean, we always had testing done.
And like I said, not in this case, that's part of the problem.
I found 3 or 4 reports on the testing, and they were all satisfactory.
Yeah, but not the way that Decker and Reggie want to see them.
They've got their agenda and to see it their way. But I don't think we've got all the tests.
But again, it at this point in time, whether there was testing done or not testing done, or the testing was good or bad, we know the roads failed.
Yeah. Regardless, I understand. I was just trying to take it to the other level, the manager.
There are certain specifications, that the city has. I couldn't recite them chapter and verse, but there are certain specifications for when the engineer draws the plans that he turns in to get approved. It does deal with the depth of the base, the depth of the asphalt, all that stuff.
You have a typical section of what that road's.
A typical section, and it will say, so many inches of compacted sand clay. And so, I don't know if it says that you have to go do a compaction test, but it does say it has to be compacted sand clay. So, by inference, if it doesn't say it explicitly, it certainly infers it. And it may say it explicitly as far as having that test done.
Roger, what happens if we agree to pay $10,000, if the testing is going to cost $20,000, agree to pay $10,000, let the developers pay $10,000. If the information comes out that it just needs a surface, we will do that base surface to make it very smooth in one layer where we've got the problem, but still not accept the road in our system, but be available to make sure that it is smooth.
Wait a time period.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Well, right now there's probably $15,000 to $20,000 worth of patching that has to be done out there currently.
In addition to doing the testing, so you're talking about 40.
Right now there's some patching that needs to be completed.
And that's stuff referencing right now.
And that'd be what they'd be doing right now.
On that section one. Item one.
Right where these new homes are being built. In fact, they're probably all completed by now, but there is a large patch, probably the width of the road by 50 feet. So there's probably 1,000 square feet of patching.
The thing to remember is Roger presented this to the developers back around probably Thanksgiving or so, and they were no go on all of it. I don't think it'll be no go on just about anything.
No, I understand.
And not that should change.
Are there more houses to be built out there?
No.
By then?
Okay. No. If
why do we?
If he had not, a couple of years ago, we could have gone to him and said, "We're not going to give you any more building build permits until you go ahead and do X, Y, and Z." Mm-hmm. When I was in Edgefield County, that's what I had a developer
do. Who gave the building permits for these last three?
They were already sold to another person.
Yeah, they sold all the lots to.
They sold
to,
I don't care. That's builders. Different than a certificate of occupancy. I mean, why do we allow somebody to build on a lot than on a street that's bad? Isn't there?
I mean, the city could have stopped it, given them, stopped the building permit.
I don't think anybody.
We keep making the same.
No, I don't think. I mean, anyway. You didn't think of it. I didn't think of it. Yeah. Roger didn't think of it. Nobody thought to stop the issues.
Anyway, we're going to do the compaction testing, and
I think we should.
You're talking about doing the soil borings.
The soil borings.
Do some soil borings to check for where the water's at.
You can't compaction test it right now over the asphalt. You got to drill down through, and you'll pull out, and you'll see the layers of earth.
So, what is the soil testing going to tell us?
Where the water's at. If there is any water. First of all, is there water
down
and then
how much?
Where the water's at?
We talked about that.
How many do you think?
And what's the difference between that and compaction testing?
Compaction testing, they put this little thing on top of the soil and it goes boom, and it tells how if it's compacted or not and to what degree.
Okay.
And so that's not going to tell you what you want to know. You want to know
how
deep it is. You want to drill that hole, and it takes a core. And you want to drill that hole, pull out that core, and be able to see, this area right here has got a lot of organic matter and very wet, and so that's holding water, and that's a problem.
So we could pretty well assume then that a compaction test would fail because there's water down below.
No, not necessarily. In fact, I would say the compaction is not the problem.
Yeah.
In looking at the sewer line.
That's what you get when you elect a sociology major.
When you look at the sewer line going down the middle of the street, if it wasn't compacted properly, you'd start seeing that dip down all the way. I only saw one spot on the whole street, two streets, that had that dip in it.
Okay, so we're going to do
that. And it was very minor. So the compaction is not the problem.
Okay.
It's really the moisture that's down there.
Okay, so we're going to do that testing. Could you be kind enough to put a copy of Tool's report on this road into our packet on?
Well, what I was going to do is have this as an agenda item.
Yeah.
Asking council's permission to go ahead and, and then, so provide the money so that we can do the compaction. Yeah.
Okay.
And we have to know a little bit about how many of these we want.
Well, part of it's going to depend on what they find. If they go ahead and they start finding water, you want to keep doing the borings, because the water's not going to always be a foot down. Some areas might be 2 foot. Some areas might be 6 inches. Mm-hmm. So you kind of do the borings, and as you go up the hill, all of a sudden you're probably not going to find any water at all. Mm-hmm. And at that point, you could probably stop. Mm-hmm. So the Tool engineering, I want to say it was like $24,000 minimum is what they thought it was going to cost.
The engineers will make a recommendation. If they start finding water in a certain area, they're going to say, we need to keep going, do this.
Until we find out where it stops.
Yeah. And they're going to.
And maybe 100,000.
And then based on that, the one solution could be that you put French drains in. And that may solve the problem.
If it does, great.
Well, we may be able to save that, not $1 million, and not have to pay
that. Yeah, I mean, I just don't know. I just threw the million.
And the question that I have, again, is by doing this, if I were living there, you're giving me hope that you're going to help me with my problem. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to assume that once you find, once we've done the boring, that you've discovered the problem, and you're going to help me help the neighborhood out of the problem. Mm-hmm.
So
keep that in mind.
And the purpose of tonight's meeting, my primary purpose of tonight's meeting, I'm not too sure what anybody else's primary purpose was, I didn't want to get out there and harangue through this whole issue for an hour, hour and a half, and dig up everything in the past if the solution's going to be we need to do soil
samples. Or if there's no solution.
Or if there's no solution. Or if you guys liked this and this was great, then it would have gone straight to council. But that's the whole purpose of tonight, and that's the whole purpose of the committee meetings.
Well, we obviously can't make a decision here, but I guess if you come to us on Monday night and ask us for permission to do bore testing, is that what it's called?
B-O-R-E.
Bore testing, then that we can vote on it then.
And we shouldn't have to discuss it for an hour, is that what you're saying? I shouldn't have to an hour for the questions to ask.
I mean, I wish we had control over that, but, for Gem Lakes people, I mean, I got a call today on it if they want to come down and raise Cain. But if we tell them clearly up front that this is only to do the testing, that ought to satisfy them.
We can vote on this without having to have a public hearing on it.
Mm-hmm. There's no money authorized.
Everything you do, there's a public hearing.
I mean, it's all in front of the public, but you don't have to. I mean, I'm not saying I would exclude people from making comment, but do you have to allow them to make comment?
Sure.
You can't vote a resolution or whatever to spend money without the public.
People can make comments on any item on the agenda.
Do you actually need council approval to do the core sample?
Back in 2013, and again, I wasn't here, but based on the letter that Richard Pierce wrote to the developer, it was saying, this is our report, this is what was recommended. Either you do it or we're going to do it and bill you. So I don't know what council authorized back in 2013.
He did that entirely on
his own. We weren't asked.
So I called him afterward and said, what is this all about?
And so, I mean.
But based on that letter, I would assume.
You have the ability to do. One of the things council has to be prepared for is possibility, I don't know how remote it is, but the possibility that the developer might say, get that bore sample off my property.
I don't think he could do that.
Well, if he does, then he does.
I wouldn't put anything. I wouldn't assume.
He's going to hope that we are going to manage his problem, that we're going to rescue him.
I don't know. I couldn't begin to figure out what his course of action would be, but logically it will be in whatever he thinks is his best interest.
The point is, I don't mind public comment. I just, there's no reason to go on for an hour or more.
5 minute limit.
Yeah, we got the 5 minute limit. But there's no reason for this to belabor for that long if all we're really considering, we're not considering the quality of the roads or whether the patches are holding up or anything else. All we're really considering is, do we want to go do something that we've talked about before, and that is have this, this.
Well, this is something that's got to go to bid anyway, doesn't it?
Well,
based on the cost?
Yeah, there's probably very few people that do it in this area. You might have one or two.
Well, a lot determines is determined, too, with your statement in terms of what we're going to do and the mayor's follow up with that. But this is this in no way implies any commitment, except we need to figure out what the problem is.
We need to get further information.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's all.
Absolutely.
That's all we're.
Because I think he likes what you have here. I think they've come to that.
He who?
Huh? Who? Gall and Kushner.
They didn't jump nine.
Huh? To be able to get out of this, it took $100,000 or whatever it is.
This was presented to them in November, or something very similar to it.
Yeah.
The limits were $300,000,
and they wouldn't go for it.
And it took 3 months to get even this to them.
Well, in no way are we saying, though, with what we're attempting to do now, are we going to take those roads over?
They realize that they
can are we gonna make that
walk
clear?
Away from this. And
are we going to make that work?
Maybe I'm out of sequence.
Information, so
right.
We're information gathering at this point.
So right. We can determine what the next steps are.
Weren't we promised one time that at the end of the summer in August, we're going to have everything completed by Kushner and Gall?
Yes.
Whatever happened to that? You know, nobody ever followed? Nobody asked them? Or what?
We identified at the meeting, we identified a list of things that needed to be done, and they were going, their understanding of the agreement, as I mentioned earlier, was we'll get these done and then you accept the roads. But that's not the way it works. The way it works is when you tell us the roads are okay, then we look at them for a year.
Clock starts.
And then we if there's no further problems, we accept them. Mm-hmm. And that never happened.
Yeah, but what did they do between the time they agreed and that August?
They patched
They patched roads.
Patched it, and that was it.
Yeah, they
went out
patches.
There and they made patches based on what Ted Jones had given them.
But then after August, there were more patches that developed.
Yeah,
it's been the history of that road, those roads.
Okay,
you know, not nearly as many, but there are a few more that appeared.
Suppose we went back to that, what we had said early on, that you make these patches and then we wait a year. And if we don't have any other problems, then we accept the road.
But that's not happened there. I mean,
that's what we said though back then.
Yeah.
Right.
But it didn't happen because.
No, it didn't. But suppose we did it now.
I don't know why you'd get any difference. I don't know why you'd get anything different from what you've experienced out there in the past. There's still going to be patches that'll develop. I mean, Roger said not as many maybe, but. There'll still be patches.
The developers are, I shouldn't speak for them, but I think the developers are about done. Not that they ought to be about done, but I think they're about done.
We concluded that a long time ago.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah.
They
walked
in
a long time ago.
As they can.
Last September when they were in here, they walked away very upset.
They did, yeah.
They didn't answer our question.
As a matter of fact, one of them walked out of the public meeting.
Yeah.
Didn't come out.
We had those pictures, remember? And they wouldn't even answer the questions. When are you going to do? When are you going to do these?
Well, if we do the bore testing, as we will hopefully agree on Monday night, then at least we'll work from a base of knowledge on the issue.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Well, as far as the bore testing, is there a way to do it judiciously? I mean, you know, there's got to be some external visual cues on where you start bore testing, or you could go, you know, you hit three dry holes, so to speak, and then not even solve the problem.
Well, I don't know anything about bore testing.
I have no idea. That's why I was wondering if
they'll identify areas they see as low points that they think have problems where bend patches are problems, and that's the places they'll start, and then they'll look at those areas where you can see the surface water that's coming over the curb and creating algae and all that. And they'll use all that as, you know, keys or clues for where they'll test, and then they'll radiate from those places.
And they'll tell us where specifically the testing was done on the roads.
Oh yes,
yeah,
oh,
yeah. The report. So, yeah.
They'll do it like an engineer would do it.
You have residents, I think, that spend probably 6 hours a day walking to see where there is water seeping, so they can tell pinpoint areas that need to test here, because they're looking for those things. Mm-hmm.
Well,
who do we get to?
We need to get their inputs.
Who do we get to do this? The
we'll have to go off for a request for a proposal. Yeah. Council's direction is anything over 10,000 has to have an RFP. So we'll do that, get the results back probably in April, early May. Then we'll get them out there. It'll probably be June, July before you get a report back.
Now, does the weather have any effect on underground water?
Sure.
Does.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's probably what the part of the problem was in 2008 when they did the testing and did the work. It might have been very dry that summer.
Drought. We were in a drought.
And if that was the case and the water table's way low, mm-hmm. then all of a sudden it starts coming back up. And understand, this is a wetlands right across the street where that detention pond is at. That's a wetlands area.
Yeah.
Well, there's a reason why the original developer didn't build on that road.
And they reminded us. The residents have reminded us.
Yeah.
Well, there's also the spray field back there for Jim Lake when they had their own sewer system.
Mm-hmm. We will have something to you next Monday.
Okay.
We are adjourned.
Sounds good.
Roger, we're meeting next.
Oh, you got an executive session Monday night? You got two executive sessions Monday night.
What time are we going to start?
Executive session number one is going to be on the property on the north side. We'll get a report.